Nina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM. KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM. And K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM. And online at www.kaytfm.com. The heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
Let's flow a little bit differently today. Dr. Jill Nashfall did a wonderful article, and in this article, she talked about the six living generations. The six living generations, though certainly there are some similarities, there are also plenty of distinctives. And if you're sitting in this room, trust me, you fit in one of these generations. She starts off with the GI generation. The GI generation from 1901 to 1926. These are wonderful people. Very few of them are left. They grew up before there was refrigerators, before there was electricity. As children, they remember literally no air condition, no refrigeration, absolutely no TV and radio. But they had very high moral standards. Their word was their word. And they believed in civil responsibility, voting. They always voted. They made sure that they got out to the polls. What they did was very important to them, high level of morality. They just got married and stayed married. There was no divorce. There were no single moms unless dad died. That's all they knew. But then there is the next generation. Take a look at this, the next generation. And that is the mature silence from 1927 to 1945. The mature silence, that's my mother-in-law. She's 80 years old, my grandmother. 80, she'll be 80, my grandmother next year. The mature silence. They also came up at a time when divorce was not so. This is also pre-television. They grew up on radio and they were avid readers. They got on a job and stayed on it. You didn't retire, you just died. Yeah, right there at the factory, just fell over right there, praise God. Like, Jim's dead, come pick him up. Jim just died on row one, Jim just died. They just stayed there till they died, amen. But then there's the generation that make up the most probably of this room, and that is the boomers. Born 1946 to 1964, that's my mom and dad. It's a whole lot of them, some 77 million. All they mothers did was have sex, praise God. Their mom and dad has sex like every day, just no birth control or nothing, just 27 kids. All of them live at home, one mama, one daddy, 30 kids. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And that's when people start getting high. So the boomers don't even remember the 60s, they was high. Look at them, they high now, some of them. They still look high, look at them. They skipped the whole, they was at Woodstock, just high. All they know, high. There was no AIDS, no disease, just sex and high. So most of them don't even remember their childhood at all. They was high. Amen. Praise God. That's when, and by the way, that's when divorce started happening. Previous to the boomers, people didn't get divorced. That was the first place where divorce started to happen. Then there's the best generation that ever lived, mines. Generation X, born 1965 to 1980, we were the first latchkey kids. Yeah, we got home, wasn't nobody there, just MTV, Nintendo, Atari, cook you something, mama be home by 6:30, that's all you knew. Most of the time, dad wasn't with mom, it was the first kind of single mom thing going on, or they got divorced, so you know, we made it happen, and that's why most of us are very responsible and protective over our little sisters and brothers, because we had to cook. to mama got home. You just did what you had to do. You're the one went to the store, and if mom wasn't there, you watched your sister, you watched your brother. So it taught us something. And then, of course, let's skip one for the sake of the message. There's the generation born after 2001, Generation Z, the Boomlets. Pray for them. They were born with a phone in their hand. As soon as they came out, you just gave them an iPad. They'd never seen a book, and even their books are on computers. So that's all they know, and we're praying for this Generation Z, the Boomlets. But then, as you can see behind me, the place I want to concentrate today, the Word Church is full of millennials, born 1981 to 2000. That's where I want to concentrate. We are an intergenerational church. Please thank God for that. We work hard at it. Intergenerational. I mean, you come here, you have wonderful people that are those from the other generations. Every now and then you'll hear me raise up a hymn, and all the young people just be looking like, what he's singing? I never heard that. You joined our church on Mary Mary. That's all you know is Mary Mary and Ty Tribbett. You don't know nothing about Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Jesus, keep me near the cross. How great they are. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. But if we lose that, we lose the essence of the church. At the same time, at the Word Church, there are those that are erudite and aristocratic, and I appreciate that. Business owners, be surprised. Even brothers with braids got master's degrees here. Don't let them fool you. Even brothers with braids got masters here. Very educated church. And so therefore, you'll hear me use words that only three people know what I said sometime to speak to them that kind of have an intellectual acuity, epistemically and cognitively grown or growing in their spirits and minds. Then you'll hear me talk to people that just got out the penitentiary, even a reference to young teenagers. Why? Because the church should reach all. If you go to a church and it's all old people, you can stay if you like, but it'll be over in 10 years. It'll have no flavor, because any church with no young people has no future. I'm amazed when people want to go to a church that looks just like them with no future. Yeah. Even as I get older, you'll see I'll keep a young swag, because I want young people to have somewhere to go. Thus, the area of the group I want to talk about today, you ready for my message? These messed up millennials. These messed up millennials. And truth be told, I don't think you're messed up at all. I was just trying to get people to come to church. That's called marketing, amen. But I don't think you're messed up. I think there's a miracle in you. Yeah, I think there's a miracle in you. And Holy Spirit told me in 2017, two areas I'm going to concentrate on. Pastor, is 2016. A leader is always 2 years ahead of his people. Yeah, you can enjoy 16. I'm already in 18. But in 17, men I'm going to concentrate on, the brothers of the Word. I hear God saying brothers, men. Number two, young adults, young adult ministry. This year, what did we pay attention to? And look what happened. The teens, look at the outsiders. Go crazy for them, everybody. Whatever you concentrate on, you'll have impact in that area. We decided teens, our teens are off the chain right now, as you'll see. I want to see our young adults. I can't believe I'm 45 now. When we started the church, I was 31. I was the young adult. Now, some 15 years later, for the first time, I'm thinking young adult ministry. Young adult ministry. Millennials, who are they? How do they think? Why is the Word Church full of them? Why don't most churches have them? How do you minister to them? They aren't what you think. You would think that millennials want the pastor in skinny jeans and cappuccino and the narthex and a rock band. I read more than most people read in their life. I never come unprepared. I read everything you could read on millennials in preparation, and come to find out they don't want what you think they want at church. They're all over social media, so they can tell a fake a million miles away. They know when you're just trying to win them by coming at them to get something from them. They don't come to church for cappuccino. They can go to Starbucks for that. Yeah, they don't come to church for the rock band. They can go to the club for that. When they come to church, they want sacraments. They want sacrifice. They want sincerity. They want the Lord's Supper. Yeah, they can go to a club if they want to jump. They don't come to church to jump. They come to church to hear about Jesus. They come to church to say, help me get myself together. I'm struggling. They don't just want cappuccino. They want Christ. So many churches think you got to win them by having coffee in the narthex and a rock band on the stage. Now, they like fly service. They like screens on the wall. They got iPads in their hand. They don't want ancient, antiquated church. Now, they like the pastor to have a little swag to him and speak to them, but they don't come for cappuccino and rock bands and skinny jeans. They come to hear about Christ. What millennial could I lift up in the Bible as a kind of heuristic device or motto? Well, there are no millennials in the Bible. When that precious Palestinian Jew named Jesus walked the earth, there were no millennials. So I had to lift up one that was the closest thing I can find. Turn your Bibles to Luke 15 right quick, and notice not a person up here got a Bible. Yeah, yeah. Lean on somebody and say, even grandma got an iPad, even grandma. Grandma used to cook. Now she's talking about, girl, wait a minute, I'm posting something. He's like, grandma, can we get some cornbread? Grandma posting Willie. She's trying to hook up with Willie. Okay. Luke 15, verse 11 and 12. Let's start there. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his daddy, give me my stuff. Give me my part of the estate. Give me my part of the money that you're going to leave us. Give it to me now. So the father divided unto him his wealth. He gave to him. If you've been here 5 minutes, you know this, but trust me, you're going to hear this story like you've never heard it in your life. If you just give me about 27 minutes, everybody in here will say, wow, I thought I knew that story of no other in the Bible. A brother says to his daddy, give me my stuff. Couple things wrong. We already know this. He is not, look at me, the oldest child. The oldest child was the one that got his money first. The rest of the money was equally divided between the siblings. So he's not the oldest. Secondly, you didn't get the money until your father died. You've heard me say this, but it's true. In essence, he is saying to his father, it's taking you too long to die. Daddy, you in good shape. You been to live to 90. I'll be 40 waiting on you to die. Give me my money now. Let me roll out. What is this context? They thought back then that God wouldn't take you back. They were still in that ancient Judaism and unforgiveness and God that doesn't forgive and Jesus trying to kick knowledge, so he uses a parable. This brother never even existed. He's a figment of Jesus' imagination. Jesus is an illustrative theologian. He tells stories so good you forget it's a story. Most people I know think the prodigal son was a real person. He never existed. Jesus was just a cold-blooded illustrative storytelling theologian. He says a certain man had two sons. He had just talked about a lost sheep, and then he had talked about a lost coin. Now he talks about a lost son. And he says, a certain man, put it on the screen, verse 11, had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me. Okay, you're taking notes. It's better to have a long pencil than a short memory. The first thing that jumps out of this text, they say this about you millennials, they say this about you, is a lack of civility. Civility. I'm old school. I like words like civility. It's just a $2 word that means to be polite. Thank you, please, ma'am, sir. I believe in that. I believe in chivalry and I believe in civility. When I take my girl out to this day, I open the door after 20 years of marriage. I still walk around to her side. I pull her chair out. I let her order first. I take the check. She never sees it. Why? I'm old school that way. I believe in chivalry and I believe in civility. Hey, millennials, they say that you've lost civility, that yes, ma'am, yes, sir, is not in your vocabulary, that, you know, you grew up in an age where everything was given to you. They're saying that if you're not careful, you'll be the first black millennials, the first generation since slavery to do worse than your parents. Every generation since slavery has progressed. They're saying this generation, if not careful, will make less money than your mama. Because your mother from Generation X, she had to go kill it. She didn't open up a business. She's saving her money. She's learned some stuff. But because you were given everything, they're saying if we're not careful, you'll be the first generation since slavery to do worse than your mama them. Yeah, I come against that in Jesus' name. I say you're going from glory to glory and faith to faith. Let me hurry up. Look at me. give me. He could have said, can we talk about the estate? Sir, when you have a moment, I don't want to disrespect your dad, but you know, you're in great shape. I'm not like my brother them. I got big vision. I like to leave now. I don't want to dishonor you, so can we discuss maybe me getting my portion earlier? That would have been civility, but no, he has a lack of civility. Give me. You know, there are young people on my staff that work in the office with me in their 30s, young brothers that are around me helping me go from campus to campus. I always have young people around me teaching them how I think. That's important to me, so I keep a couple young brothers back there teaching them the ethos of this ministry, the thinking, the culture, my heart. And when they do something for me, I say, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Younger than me, but I call them ma'am and sir. I'm hoping they'll catch it and think, if he can call me ma'am, and I'm younger than his wife, then surely when I talk to somebody older than me, I want you to be new school with old school swag. I want you to be new school. Don't be old acting. No, I like the young flavor that you bring. Dress how you dress. Don't dress like nobody 50. You 30. Do you. Be respectful. I like that swag in our church. If that offends somebody, you're at the wrong church. We want young people. I don't want all old people. I know they give better. I know they bring a maturity here. But we need some young people. But do me a favor. When you're talking to somebody old enough to be your parent, yes, sir. And it doesn't have to be your mother. Yes, ma'am, do me a favor. If my kids forget to say yes, sir, to you, please let me know so I can throw a shoe at them and call child services myself. Civility, a lack of civility. Here's what he says. He says, give me my portion now. The daddy, in essence, says, if you bad enough to ask, I'm bad enough to give it to you. Lean on somebody and say, be careful what you ask God for. Go ahead, I wish... Oh, somebody downtown, be careful what you ask God for. There's some stuff God didn't want you to have, but he said, if you keep asking me for it, I'm going to release you to 10 years of craziness. I don't want you to have it. Be careful what you ask God for. People walk up to me every weekend and say, Pastor, I like this guy. I say, what church you go to? Well, not here, not nowhere, but he liked God in his own way. I'm like, don't do that. The next week, she go do that. I'll be thinking, why did she get in my line in the first place? Praise God. God will let you do whatever you want to do. He won't stop you. He won't stop you. If this is what you want to do, he's thinking to himself, son, if I was you, I wouldn't leave right now. You're not prepared yet. It's going to hurt you. But if you're asking me for it, I'm going to release it to you and let life teach you. I'd rather teach you, but if you want life to teach you, son, I'm going to release you. God allow some of us to go through what we had to go through, to learn what we had to learn, because not only do I see a lack of civility, but secondly, I see his crazy period. Ooh, just about everybody in this room has had a crazy period. I don't like the way y'all looking at me. Most people in the Word Church had a crazy period. Most baby boomers had a crazy period. Most mature silence, most GI generations, most people I know, and even many of these millennials, because one of the things the millennials taught me, because we have a focus group, I'm bringing young adults together right now to learn how they think before we crank up in 2017. You want to be a part of that focus group? Let one of our elders know, Elder Reno, Elder Willie, Elder Raheem, let somebody know that you want to be a part of that focus group. And one of the things I found out is that millennials aren't the same age. Some are 35, some 18. That's a whole different thing going on. Some, the world is their oyster. Some been divorced already. Some are single mamas. Some got more people on their slept with resume than they want to. Yeah, many millennials already done kicked it and had a crazy period. Can I tell you what the Bible says? Look at the Bible, because verse 13 says, let's make sure I'm right. Verse 13 says, and a few days later, the younger son packed all his gear and said, I'm about to roll out. What did he do? He goes to a distant land. The Bible says, there he wasted his money on wild living. Yeah, I'm sorry, you grew up on King James. These millennials, I'm their first pastor, or the first one they paid attention to. So they grew up on NASB, NLT, but all of you that grew up on King James, Pastor, how come we don't use King James? Real simple. Do you tell your kids, wilt thou come downstairs? So why have a Bible like that if you don't talk like that? King James does say this, though. You remember, he went into a far country and wasted his substance on what? Riotous living. a far country. Bible don't tell me how far he went. Doesn't tell me how many inches, feet, kilometers, yards, or miles he went. I don't know if he went down to Columbus, kicked it at some strip clubs. I don't know if he went down to Cincinnati, took a plane, you know, a little Southwest special, went out to Vegas, hit a few casinos, got a few hookers. I don't know. Bible don't tell me how far he went. Lean on somebody and say, any place away from God is too far. Go ahead. That's the wrong person. Is there anybody that has gotten old enough? Somebody downtown, somebody at East. Is there anybody that knows whenever you get away from God's word, God's will, and God's way, put somebody and say, I went too far. I went too far. I went too far. I went too far. He wasted, King James, his substance on rioters. He wasted his substance. Wait a minute. Substance. Remember this? 2-3 months ago, substance, two different Greek words, substance. He wasted his money, his dough. He wasted what his daddy gave him, external, outer stuff, creature comforts. He wasted that. Faith, Hebrews, is the substance of things hoped for. Gotta be two different substances in the Greek. Come here, everybody, come here. Two different substances, one outside, one inside. Faith is the stuff that keeps you when you're about to lose your mind. Faith is the substance. Wait a minute. He wasted his substance. Another Greek word, money. When you leave God, you lose stuff on the outside and the inside. I wish I had some real people. Is there any millennial here that can be a witness that you wasted some stuff? Some older people, when you leave God, not only will you lose money, but you'll lose years. You'll lose a sense of self. One wrong brother turning you out can change your whole view of self. You ever seen a girl that's fine just with an ugly cat? And not just ugly on the outside, really no good, but because he was able to do something right in the bed and say some right stuff, she lost a sense of self and substance and gave somebody 3-4 years of her life that didn't deserve it. There's at least 10 real people here that not only lost money, lost good credit, stayed in apartments, but you lost a sense of who you were. The Bible says he kicked it. Guess what he went through? Everybody here that's grown, for the most part, most people at the Word Church, downtown and East, has had what I call the crazy period. You don't have to raise your hand. You looking at me now. I'm sorry. Push somebody next to you. Say, don't let the smooth taste fool you. Go ahead. No, push somebody else. Say, I can't tell you everything about me. Go ahead. Say, some of it I gotta keep it on the low, because you will look at me different. You won't be able to get it out your head. You'll see me. I'm sorry, push the person in front of you. Say, I don't look like what I've been through. Go ahead. I wish I had some real people in this church that would thank God that you survived the crazy periods of your life and you are still here. Don't you look at me like you've been saved, sanctified, and Kentucky fried all your life. Slap three people, say, I was crazy for a minute. But the reason why I'm teaching millennials is because I'm trying to get millennials to skip the crazy period. And I'm trying to get you to skip it. You don't always have to come back to Jesus. Never leave him. Most people in our church are coming back. They're coming back. I love them. They're coming back, and they're back, and they're coming back, and they're going forward. But I want the never left crew. I'm trying to get some millennials the reason, and shame on any pastor. How many of you wish you would have met me when you were 17 years old? Throw your hand up. How many of you wish you would have came to a church like this that was kicking relevant truth? Because the crazy period, look at him. Oh, come on, baby boomers. Come on, baby boomers. Baby boomers. He's in the club doing a model reel. Dun, 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 dun. Dum, 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 dum. Oh, okay, Generation X, y'all ain't fooling me, Generation X. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, millennials. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble. Hey, fat girl, big, what a big girl. Once you wind it up, hey, big girl. Get in there. Slap somebody, say, I love my pastor. I don't care what you think about him. I love my church. I love Jesus. I go to the right church. Stand up and sit back down and say, preach, pastor, preach. Look. the crazy period, the crazy period is not cute. It was the crazy period. It was the crazy period where you say, you know what? Of course, I'm asleep with somebody. Because, hey, I don't know no versions. But be careful, because if you try something, you might like it. Yeah, it was the crazy period where you were smoking that weed and said, let me just lace a little crack with it. Because they say, put a little crack in there, just takes you to a different place. And some people have been on crack ever since. It was the crazy period, girl, where you said, you know what? I'm not even attracted to girls, but let me just kiss one, because everybody else do. You wasn't even a lesbian, but you kissed one. Be careful what you do. You might like it. People kill me talking about what you won't like. I don't trust my flesh at all. My flesh has nothing good in it. My flesh is decrepit and nasty. He renewed my mind. He saved my soul, but in my flesh dwells nothing good. Be careful with the crazy period, because you may do menage a trois and then one person can't ever satisfy you no more, because you hit three chicks in the same night. So now one is boring. Be careful with porn, because some stuff you Google your wife can't do. So you'll find that the crazy period has a whole lot of people messed up. The crazy period is where you bought some stuff you wish you wouldn't have bought. Stayed some places. I'm not here to beat nobody up. I'm here to help you get up, Pastor, but you taking me back down memory lane. That's okay. I'm going to sacrifice you to save some millennials in here. Is there anybody that are thinking to yourself, you're describing me, Pastor, but preach to my kids, preach to my grandkids, preach to my niece, preach to my little sister. There's nothing cute about the crazy period. There's nothing cute. There's nothing cute because with the crazy period comes consequences. you'll survive it. He'll save you. He'll restore you. You will pay. You will pay. I got a lot of people in my church that think God still hates them because they paying. I have to convince them that God will forgive you and let you pay for what you did at the same time. He'll forgive you. I know, brother, never forget a brother told me, I'm trying the best I can, man. I'm here every weekend. I'm tithing. I'm trying to love my wife. I said, brother, loving Jesus does not get rid of child support. Until they all turn 18, you'll pay. Can y'all handle this? Look at me downtown. Look at me at East. The consequences of the crazy period is that there'll be some casualties and some collateral damage. Ooh, I'm preaching much better than y'all responding. When you come out, I'll never forget, I just told the Akron campus. I said it this morning, I said it last night at Saturday service. Those watching me all across the world, I said that I'll never forget when we first started our church. I'm talking about young brothers on fire. I've always attracted men. And I thank God for that. Women are coming to church. You've been faithful, but we like 60-40 men, which is unheard of. They say the hardest man in the world to get to come to church is between 18 and 35. Our church full of them. Praise God. I love that. But when I first started our church, you know, it was just a couple of us, and all these young brothers. God was sending me radical brothers that didn't know nothing about church. I was attracting brothers straight out of stuff. I mean, some educated, some uneducated, some penitentiary, but some business world, but not from church. So they running up to me, man, I want to help you. I said, come on. So we flipping chairs, and many of you were here when we used to set up every weekend, and it was rough the first couple of years getting it done. Set up the nursery, set up the sanctuary, take every speaker down. I mean, like you do at East right now. That's what I love about my East campus. You just keep fighting for me inside Shaw High School. All the other campuses, you know, we don't have to do that no more, but all that setting up, breaking down. And so brothers in love, they didn't remarry a beautiful girl at our church. Look at me. I'm talking about in Christ. I'm talking about raising their kids, wife pregnant. He's a new man. He's changed. And I get through preaching, right? I'm preaching, feeling all good. I come down and hug everybody, and Shaw Christian walk up to me. My name is Shaw Christian, and your elder got a baby by me. And I don't know how he get to serve you. Talking about he with Jesus. He the devil. How the devil gonna be with Jesus? you need to tell him. And I'm like, oh my goodness, which one, baby? Which, oh Jesus, he on staff, oh Jesus. It's funny, you say, Pastor, that's the crazy baby's mama. Lean on her brother and say, you drove her crazy. Go ahead, y'all missed that. See, the thing about the crazy period is that you left some casualties. Yeah, there's some women you slept with one night or for 2 weeks that you don't even remember, but she died that night. She died emotionally. She died, and because she hasn't made it to the Word Church, she hasn't been resurrected yet. So she's still dead from the past stuff, and you're trying to figure out how come she hasn't shifted, but you killed her. I'm not trying to get you to feel guilty. I'm telling you about the casualties. The casualties of the crazy period. If you slept with anybody, brother, one night and haven't seen her since, how you know you don't have a son somewhere? If you had any one night stand unprotected and hasn't seen her since, how do you know for a fact? So now some child is the casualty. Who my daddy, mama? Baby, I don't know. Mama was going through a lot then. Not only is there casualties, but there's collateral damage. The children, you know, if you bomb a country right now, you say there's nuclear weapons in that school. We're going to bomb that school. Sadly, the janitor died too. He's collateral damage. They weren't aiming at the janitor. They were aiming at the nuclear weapons, but because he was there, because the kids were playing outside next to the school, they died too. Collateral damage. Kids are collateral damage of the crazy period when you got to go to the airport and hand your ticket, and you got five tickets with five different last names, and we are family. We're the Joneses. This is our son Michael Smith. This is Cynthia Brown. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just preaching theoretically, I'm preaching experientially. And the kids in the bedroom talking about, my daddy picking me up, your daddy ain't come. Aha, what time your daddy come? My daddy, that's not cute, but they think it's normal. Because abnormal has become normal. Dysfunction has become functional. That's part of the crazy period. Be careful, Pastor. Why are you preaching this rough stuff? Because if I can get 25 teenagers, 35 millennials to avoid the crazy period and have one set of kids, one baby's mama, one husband, no mess in your life, no soul ties, no crack addiction, and some money. I wish I had 50 people that would shout. If you're not gonna shout for you, shout for your kids and your niece and your nephew and your grandkids. The crazy period comes with consequences. Every young person on this stage, all millennials not the same. Some of y'all 35, 33, you're married already, already into life. Avoid the crazy period. It's nothing cute about it. Avoid the crazy period. The collateral damage is not having no money because of choices. The collateral damage, the consequence is having to work someplace 30 years when you're smarter than your boss. Because you got to do what you got to do. I speak over your life. Every teenager, every outsider, every millennial. Oh, y'all can jump up on this. God's going to put you in purpose. God's going to make you do everything the right way. God's going to give you another. Is there anybody here that knows that if we preach this right, the Word Church is going to raise up thousands of young people that do better than we did? If you are sitting there selfish, you crazy. You ought to shout for your posterity, for the new generation, and say, I'm glad pastor's preaching. The consequences, can I tell you what happened? The next verse says, verse 14, look at it, everybody. About that time his money ran out and a great famine swept over the land. He began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Don't minimize that. Every campus, look at me. Don't minimize that. Don't miss this. Unless the Bible tells you otherwise, assume every biblical character is a Jewish person. Unless the Bible tells you otherwise, assume every character is a Jew. Jesus is telling this story from a Jewish Hebraic context. This young brother in the narrative is a Jew. Jews were taught, like your mama told you, don't touch that stove. They were taught, don't touch that pig. From the time they were three, look at me. From the time they were four or five, they were taught, don't touch that pig. Look at me. They were taught, don't touch that pig. They were taught, we don't touch pig. We are Jews. We are the chosen. Some stuff is beneath us. There's some stuff we don't cave in or capitulate to. There's some stuff this family don't do. They were raised that way. There were some core values put in this brother. He was taught, we don't touch Jews. We don't touch pigs. We don't touch pork. Now some of y'all this morning had a ham bacon sandwich with pork chop grease. Y'all silly.
He was taught, don't touch pig. Don't eat swine. Under no circumstances are you to be within proximity, within the vicinity, within geographical position of anything pork. And look at him. Life has beat him up so bad because of bad crazy periods that he's doing some stuff that's beneath him. He doing some stuff. Have you ever been laying next to somebody and looked at him and started thinking, how did you get here? Nobody's supposed to be here. Silly of me to think that I, oh, love, oh. No matter how I think we know, you always seem to let me know it ain't worth. Shut up! Have you ever been in the crack house? Trust me, there's some ex-crackheads at the Word Church. And said to yourself, I'm better than this. Have you ever been with that girl's husband thinking, I'm better than this? Have you ever been someplace and something in your soul said, this beneath me. I'm caught up right now, but this beneath me. Have you ever been, my brothers, looking at that computer, doing that little nasty stuff and watching stuff while your wife sleep, thinking, I gotta let this go. This beneath me. This is not my wife. This beneath me. He's in decadence. He's doing something deplorable. He's in depravity. He's washing pigs and feeding them and dirty and nasty and mess all over them. But the next verse, I can't leave you right there, says, but when he came, oh, y'all gonna make me jump off this stage to his senses. Okay, some of y'all still sitting there, but when he came to his senses, y'all still, but when he came to his senses, he's washing nasty pig. Look at me outsiders. He got boo-boo on him and nasty swine. And he was in the middle of it one day and looking at all these other brothers just cleaning pigs, less than minimum wage, just all this nasty beneath him stuff. And one day he stopped and said, the guys that used to iron my polo shirts are dressing better than me. Look at me over there. Look at me. The guys that used to fix my food are eating better than me. I think I go back home. Y'all gonna make me jump off this stage. I'm trying to let y'all go. I got another service, but I like the Message version because I thought I knew my Bible. Thank you, Eugene Peterson, because the Message version says that brought him to his senses. Now, wait a minute. I never read that because I thought the brother just all of a sudden decided he wanted to follow Jesus. No, life brought him. Life made him. Don't y'all look at me like that. That brought him. Do me a favor. Text all your exes and say thank you. Text every job that lets you go. Text everybody that broke your heart. Text every man you had to run away from. Give them credit. At least they brought you back to your senses. Can I get about 50 people that life brought you back? Life brought you back. Life. The Bible says that brought him. What were you doing? Who slapped you?
who beats you, who hurts you. And at least she says, you know what? He must don't know about me. I'm from church. In my heart, I'm a Christian. I'm messing up right now, but I'm saved. I go to the word. Yes, I'm nasty. Yes, I'm pregnant. Yes, I'm cheating. But in my soul, I know who Jesus is. I'm weak right now. I'm in a bad place. But in my heart, I'm a Christian. There's an old song that said, I'm a Christian in my heart. When he came to his senses, when he came to his senses, can I tell you what he did? Here it is. Here it is. Not only y'all can stand, run, sit, forest run, whatever you want to do, because not only do we see a lack of civility, not only do we see a crazy period which led to consequences, which led to collateral damage and casualties, but he made a choice. Oh, let's have church. Can I? Okay, I told y'all this last year. Didn't nobody shout? If you don't shout this time, I want you to change churches. Can I suggest to you that if a choice messed you up, then a choice can help you get up. I wish I... Do me a favor. Make a choice. 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 The Bible says that he decided to himself, I'm going back home. Watch this. I'm going back home. Can I tell y'all the last thing and I bid you goodbye? Not only do we see civility, not only do we see the crazy period, not only do we see the consequences of casualties and collateral damage, but watch this. Not only do we see the choice, try not to shout, but lastly, God gave him another chance. God bless you. If you didn't need another chance, don't you shout. But if God picks you up and stirs you back up, do me a favor. Would you look at somebody, if you my age or older or a millennial, and say, I've been down real low. Go ahead. But look him in the face and say, I'm all the way up. Oh, I wish I had 50 people. Slap 25 people. Say, I'm all the way up. Go ahead. The devil thought he had me. When the devil thought he had Jesus, Jesus stepped out the grave on Sunday morning and said, I'm all the way up. Whoa! Slap five people. Say, I'm up, I'm up, I'm up, I'm up, I'm up. Yes. Yes. Would you push your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm only here because God gave me another chance. Wait. Wait, wait, wait. I'm trying to get out of here. But if the Lord gave you another chance, then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I dare 75 people at every campus to get your cute self out of your seat and walk over to three people. Look them dead in the face. If you can't get out your aisle, then turn around and testify. I had a crazy period. I said, tell somebody I had a crazy period. I dare somebody to walk out of your seat and walk over to the other side. I dare 100 millennials to bum rush the altar and say, Pastor, it could have been over for me. Can I get some baby boomers, some Generation X, to just run down to the front and say, look at me. I should have been dead, but I'm still here. It was over for me. But just one more time, push your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I was down, but I'm all the way up. Yes. Now do me a favor. Grab your neighbor by both of their hands. Now rock him and shake him. I said shake him and rock him. I said rock him and shake him. Now shake him and rock him. Tell him God gave me another chance. If you should have been dead, but the Lord gave you another chance, then open up your mouth and praise him till you lose your mind. Looking for somebody that would just turn around in your seat and say, God, help me turn around. I said, turn around in your seat and say, look at me. He turned me around. Thank you.
him. Praise him like it's your last time. Praise him like he brought you back. I got a feeling that somebody in here wants to praise him in advance that he brought you.
Wait. I gotta hit the clutch. I gotta. Some of y'all, millennials don't remember stick shelves. Millennials don't remember stick shelves. They don't. I gotta hit the clutch, cause I want y'all to know something critical. Bible says, when he came to his senses, he said, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm wounded, but I'm going home. I'm embarrassed, but I'm going home. I'm pregnant, but I'm going home. I'm in love with somebody married, but I'm going home. I'm addicted to people and stuff, but I'm going home. I don't know, but I believe in my heart that every day since he had left, I don't know, this is eisegesis conjecture at best, that the Father would come outside about 7-8 o'clock every night and just look down the road and say, maybe this is the day that my baby coming back. You guys know I have, look at Pastor, every campus, you guys know I have 40,000 members. I'm serious, 40,000 people. That might be one of the best, I mean this, in the history of America. Look at me, in Cleveland, Ohio, I'm not exaggerating. I think it's nearly 45 now, nearly 45,000 people. Look at me, check any place you want to check. Check any growth church growth stats you want. We are in the top 1% in America. Are they all here? No. 2-3 weeks, we see maybe 10,000 people. But Pastor, how come you don't take people off the roll? Why don't you sort of rinse the roll? If they haven't been here, take them off the roll. They at other churches, some left wrong, some talked about you, some kicking it. Why don't you take them off the roll? No, because I never know. Is that? Oh, y'all gonna make me start crying. Y'all gonna, and that's why when you get in my line and say, Pastor, I left wrong. I didn't tell you by. I don't tell Lady Vernon by. I got pregnant. I kicked it. I left. I said, baby, you can stop all that. Just give me a hug. Go see Elder Reno and figure out how to get back in class and rinse off. You may have to sit for a minute, but they'll get you right back. We never took you off the roll. I'm the prodigal son's father. I don't care how you talk about me, talk about my wife, talk about our church. When you come back, I'll be standing on the porch just like this. Because if God forgave me, who am I? And when your child comes home, don't talk about him. Don't put him down. The Bible says he came walking. He was dirty, but he came. He was strung out, but he came. He was addicted to porn, but he came. Had a sex addiction, but he just... Pastor, if you're addicted to porn, come to church every Sunday. If you on crack, the night after you get high, come to church. Yeah, what the devil wants you to do is get shamed out of coming. If you're sleeping with other women and you're a woman, Pastor, even the LGBT community will tell you what they love about me. They don't want me to change what I believe. Yeah, I can love them and still believe what I believe. There's nothing in this Bible, and I've been reading it 30 years, that tells me God wants a woman to make love to a woman. You're not going to convince me of that. Pastor, are you Republican or Democrat? I'm too black in social justice to be Republican. and I'm too saved to be a Democrat. I don't know what I am. Pastor, who you voting for? I can tell you who I'm not. I'm not voting for some insulting multi-billionaire pseudo-populist. In the words of Dr. Cornel West, with aristocratic sensibilities and fascist proclivities. No, you can't put people down and I'll vote for you. I can't vote for xenophobic, homophobic. I can't do that. I pray for me. I know I'm not voting there. Just know that. But in this world we live in, you're gonna need Jesus. And if you're watching me today, if you're LGBTQ, if you whatever, you can come home. I don't care who you are, this is your home. I don't care. You can come just like you are. You can come if you messed up. And watch this. I'm out of time. I got another service. When he came home, the father saw him. And don't y'all shout on this. I got another service. But please put up the next slide, because I want you to see what he said, because this is important. Put it up real quickly, because the father, he left home saying, give me. Who remembers he said, give me? Try not to shout. But he came back home saying, make me. Now y'all miss y'all shout. When he was immature, he said, give me some. But when he came back, he said, you ain't got to give me nothing, daddy. God, just make me what you want me to be. I don't need no man. I don't need no car. I don't need no house. You just make me. Make me. He said, I don't even deserve to live in the house. I want to sleep in the quarters with the people who work here. The guys that cut the grass, the cooks, let me sleep with them. I don't even deserve to come in the house. Daddy says, you crazy. You still my baby. Y'all go get the fattest cow we got and kill it. Tonight we having a cookout. Go in my closet, get my polo robe, the nicest one. Put that on him. Go in my jewelry box, get the ring with the bling. Put that on his finger. Because my son that was lost is now found. And if you're watching me downtown, come on, elders. If you're watching me everywhere in this house, what a mighty good day to come back to Jesus. I want to ask about 100 people, 1,000 people that needs to come back. If you don't go to our church, raise your hand right quick. Come on, raise it, please. Ooh, yeah. Y'all can make it back to y'all seats right quick. But don't walk out the door, not one person in the overflow. If you got any respect for me on field two, ushers, help me. Deacons, nobody's walking on field two. Everyone standing to your feet right quick. Do me a favor, there's no chicken or car. Don't one person go out that door. Just honor your pastor. Don't ever walk when souls are moving or money is moving in the church. Don't ever walk when souls are moving, when money is moving. It throws off security, throws off the ushers. And right now you can throw off the Holy Spirit.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Stars, see no one. Shabbat, to commend or to praise something or someone with a loud voice, with a loud exuberant voice. So therefore, we come right now to Shabbat the Lord, our God. Train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he's old, he won't depart from it. For out of the mouths of babes come perfected praise. Shabbat the Lord with us. Come on and put those hands together as we begin to just praise and magnify the Lord our God. For he is worthy of our praise.
Hallelujah.